I'd like you to open your bulletins, and you'll see a sheet with the message here for this morning. Come alive in Jesus. I believe, and it certainly has been well said, that the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, has defined the course of history and has forever changed the course of the lives of men and women. Even today, he's doing that same thing. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is even greater than the event of creation itself, because through his resurrection power, he brings about a new creation in the lives of men and women and boys and girls who come to faith in Jesus Christ. He does that in their daily lives as well. You know, it's one thing for an unbeliever to deny the resurrection of Christ, and many have throughout the history since the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is without a doubt the most recorded event in history, his resurrection. It has a profound effect on many. But at the same time, if it is part of the gospel, the good news of salvation, we can understand how the non-believer, the person who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, would reject that. Resurrection for the dead? Are you kidding? No, we're not kidding. God declares that in his word and proved that in his Son, Jesus Christ. So we're not amazed, we're not surprised when non-believers deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you know, it's a whole other thing when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ disregard the resurrection power and life of Jesus Christ in our daily life, in the church life. That is just as real as his resurrection more than 2,000 years ago. We're going to be looking at a number of verses. I believe in the power of God's word. We're told that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We're told also that the word of God brings cleansing and correction in our lives. The word of God also renews and refreshes our soul, our hearts. No greater truth than the Word of God can renew and refresh the heart and soul than the message of Jesus Christ. The one who died for your sins, for my sins, for the sins of the world, there on Calvary's cross. You know the story, I'm sure. Just as well as you know the story of Christmas. The story of Christmas does not end in a cross. The story of Christmas doesn't end in a tomb. The story of Christmas continues its life-giving power through the person of Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and rose again on the third day. We're going to be looking at together in God's Word, as God's Word speaks to our hearts, and that's my prayer this morning, that God will speak to every one of us of that living life that we have in Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that life, you can have that today. Jesus Christ is inviting all who are yet to believe in him to come, come. Whosoever will may come. No one will be cast aside. No one will be cast out. Aren't you glad? I sure am. Yeah. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you in Jesus' name for so great a salvation that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came and you lived that sinless and perfectly holy, righteous life, fulfilling God's law perfectly, and then dying on the cross for our sins, where you who knew no sin became sin for us when you died as our sin sacrifice, that our sins were upon you, and that because of that you received God's wrath and judgment that we rightly deserve. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that payment in full that we could never pay for our sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that with the shedding of your blood, there is forgiveness. There is cleansing. And thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your resurrection, and prove that that sacrifice that you gave on that cross in Calvary, and when you said it is finished, that it is paid in full, it indeed is paid in full for all who believe and receive you as Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, we're asking for all of us here today that we would be refreshed, Lord, that we would be reminded and renewed of these great truths and the saving life of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. So open our hearts to your word. May it have its God-intended purpose and power in all of our lives. We ask this, Father, in that wonderful and amazing name of Jesus Christ, for we know that there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus. In his name, amen. We have a number of verses there in the beginning. Do you have your outline there? I want to encourage you because, as I say, I believe in the power of God's Word. I know God's Word works. I know it's working in my life and showing me and correcting me and instructing me and bringing cleansing in my life and knowing that indeed, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to what? To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God said that in his Word. Aren't you glad? And whatever God says he needs, whatever God promises, he fulfills. And we're going to be looking at a number of promises as well with regard to this new life that we have in Christ. So if you're at the top of your outline there, we have a number of verses by way of introduction just about what this new life is, because the Bible is the basis. The Bible is from where we get that understanding about this new life. It's not something that's conjured up by Bill Gray or conjured up by South John Bible Church or anybody else, but it indeed it comes from God himself. So let's take a look. The thief comes. Only steal. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking and quoted in John's Gospel. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came. That's Jesus. My Jesus. Is he your Jesus? I pray he is. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Then again, Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the what? Newness of life. If you have your pen, go ahead and circle that. I want you to take this paper home today too, just so you can refresh and just to be reminded of these great promises and provisions. So circle that phrase, the newness of life. That's what he gives. And so much more too. And let's go on if you will. Ephesians chapter 2 as you have there. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us. That great love that John talks about in John 3:16. You know that verse, don't you? John 3:16. For God, why don't we all say that verse together? Okay, you know it. I know you know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. I knew you knew it. Amen. What a great verse it is. And that's exactly what Paul is writing about here. The great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Not by works. Not even by going to church. Think of that. Now going to church is not bad. Not a bad thing. You're here today. It's not a bad thing that you're here. But just going to church won't save us. Doing good things won't save us. But believing in Jesus Christ will save us. Amen? Yeah. But you know, he does so much more than just saving us from the penalty and the power of sin. And we're going to get into that newness of life that we have. What is this new life that Jesus offers? Well, there in your outline before you, the first thing is, it's a new life filled with meaning and purpose through the risen Christ. It is a new life. There's no doubt about it. God's quote speaks of it as a new life. But it's a new life that is filled with meaning and purpose. You know, everybody wants their life to count. You don't want your life to count for a zero, do you? None of us do. Every one of us wants to live a life that has meaning and purpose, that has some sense of significance. You know, you hear, and it's not just the younger people, you hear it from older people too. Not like me, if you will. I'm still trying to find myself. How many have ever heard that phrase? I'm trying to find myself. Well, maybe you said that too. I don't know. But essentially what they're saying is they know where they are. You know, it's
no problem. They know where they are geographically, but they're looking to understand where they are philosophically and theologically. What is my life worth? Does my life have meaning and purpose and have significance?
And what does Jesus say?
Yes!
Your life has meaning and purpose. It really does. If you know him first, then he's going to say, that's what the new life is all about. So the new life is one of meaning and purpose through the risen, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Take a look at some of the verses you have there. And just allow the Word of God to speak into our hearts, okay? For I know the plans. This is God speaking to Jeremiah, through Jeremiah and his Word, to you and I today. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You can expand that to give your life significance, meaning, and purpose. Now, maybe you're here this morning. Maybe that verse alone has been speaking to you right now. Where God is saying to you, I know the plans I have for your life. You see, I've tried my own plans. Have you tried your own plans too? Boy, did I mess up. Big time. Big time. Many times. My own plan wasn't cut. Maybe you're here this morning too and you're saying, you know, my plans aren't cutting it either, Bill. I want to know more about God's plan for my life. You see, that's a good question. And that's a good desire. And he says, indeed, plans to give you hope and a future. Take a look at the next verse. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. You see, because God has a plan for you in his Son, Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior, God can say, in that newness of life that you receive through Christ, that he can cause all things in your life to work together for good. All things. Sickness, loss of a job. I've had those. Cancer. Yes, I've had that too. We've had many, many things. And you have had too. God says, to those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that in that wonderful plan that he has to give you a future and a hope in Christ, that those things that come into our life do not deter the fulfillment of his plan or his goodness in your life. They will never. But he will, because he is sovereign. Aren't you glad? And he will use all of those things to work together for good in your life and in my life. How can God say that? Well, first of all, because he is God. And secondly, he showed us that in the death, burial, and resurrection of his Son. How can crucifixion be good? How can death be good? Well, God has shown us in his Son. And the promise to you and me in Christ Jesus, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he can cause all things in your life, in my life, to work together for good. You see, that's part of that new life. It has meaning, it has purpose, it has significance, because it's part of God's plan. Let's go on to the next, if you will. What this new life is in Christ Jesus. It's a new life that sets us free from the penalty, circle that, penalty, and the power of sin. It took both the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to accomplish that. In Christ's resurrection, there was victory, there was triumph over Satan, over sin, and over the power of sin, for you and for me. He was already the sinless, perfect Son of God, fully righteous and holy. But when he took your sin and my sin upon himself, he paid that penalty for our sins. Do you believe that? I pray you do. I pray you do, because
believing that, and there's many other things too that will impact your life and my life together. Take a look. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is what? Death. No one likes to talk about death. We try to spruce it up, we try to cover it, we try to do all things. But you know you're going to die. Every one of us in this room is going to die. But the gospel says, that last enemy for the believer in Jesus Christ has been defeated. That you and I, though we die physically, we are alive spiritually. And one day, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, we too will have new resurrected bodies. That's what Jesus said. Here, this passage, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is what? Eternal life. Circle that. If you circle death, you also circle the eternal life. Because that's the contrast. Makes a big difference, doesn't it? Sure does. Has it made a difference in your life? Has it? You see, like we said before, it's nothing new when non-believers deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They do that all the time. Do they deny Jesus Christ? But it's a terrible thing when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ disregard the power of resurrection in the newness of life in our lives. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, sin robs us of true meaning and purpose of life. Sin brings death and destruction and judgment. Sin brings bondage and enslavement. The Lord speaks of that. Sin brings fear. In fact, the writer of Hebrews here, the Word of God says that fear that we have of death becomes a bondage that Satan can use in your life and my life. Sometimes people will do anything at all to extend their life. We see that on TV all the time, don't we? You know, you take this pill and you're going to live well. They don't say how many more years, but yeah. Well, the gift is eternal life of Jesus Christ and always will be. Sin destroys. But this new life sets us free from the penalty and the power of sin through Jesus Christ. Take a look at John here in the next verse, if you will. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son, he's talking about himself, if the Son of God, Jesus Christ, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be what? Free indeed. Free indeed. Are you longing to be free? Maybe you're here this morning, on this Resurrection Sunday, and you've been battling something in your life, maybe as a Christian, and you want to be free of that. It keeps coming back. God wants to set you free of that. The resurrection of life of Jesus Christ will do just that. The power of his resurrection. It also does something else. In that freedom that he gives full forgiveness. Isn't that wonderful? And sometimes when we forgive people, we only give it halfway. You ever do that? You know, in our mind, we say, you know, I'll forgive you. Sometimes we say this. I'll forgive you, but don't ever do it, what? Again. That's partial forgiveness. In fact, that's not even forgiveness. Let's be honest. Right? Isn't that how God forgives you and me? Through the death and the burial and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty for our sins, your sins, and my sins, when he said, I forgive you, we are forgiven through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. God doesn't say, okay, I'll forgive you, Bill, but remember, don't do that again. No. Aren't you glad that he doesn't do that with you too? Huh? I sure am. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Paul also writes this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite passages. Therefore there is now, right now, let's all say that together right now, okay, right now,
Okay, right now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What that means is those who believe in Christ, all his finished work of death, his burial, his resurrection for your salvation, for my salvation, his shed blood, his resurrection. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. It's only a risen Savior that can set us free from the law of sin and death. You take all the religious leaders of the world, we won't go naming all of them. Buddha, can you set me free from my sin? Silence. He's dead. He's still in the tomb. Muhammad, can you set me free from my sins and death? Silence. He's still in the tomb. Joseph Smith, not only religious, but also cult leaders. Joseph Smith, the leader of the Mormon cult. Joseph Smith, can you set me free from my sin and my death? Silence. He's still in the tomb. Mary Baker Eddy, a religious leader of a cult. Mary, can you set me free from my sin and my death? Silence. She's still in the tomb. Jesus, can you set me free from my sin and my death? Yes, I can. For I am risen. He rose in the grave for you and for me. He sets us free from sin and death. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a power of love and a sound mind. No longer bondage of fear of death and the coming judgment of sin. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, one who died for your sin and rose again for your justification, there's no more fear. God has not given us a fear, but he has given us the spirit of power and the love of sound mind. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's right now. Right now. That's what the power of the life and the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives to everyone again believer. Well, how can we receive and live this new life? It's not just receiving it, but it's also living it. Oftentimes when the gospel is presented, they say, receive salvation. All you have to do is reach out with a hand of faith and believe and trust in Jesus Christ. And that's true. We're saved by grace through what? Through faith in Jesus Christ. But there's so much more to experience than just to have my sins forgiven. To have your sins forgiven. Oh, that's great. Praise God for that grace gift. But there's so much more in Jesus that we can and must experience. Paul's desire and delight every day was to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. Is that your delight? Is that your desire? Because you see, the gospel isn't just a ticket out of hell and a ticket into heaven. It is a great salvation. Is eternal life that you and I can have and live right now. Aren't you glad? Yeah, amen. So how can you, let's make it more personal, okay? How can you receive and live this new life? Well, it begins with, first of all, know that Jesus died and rose from the dead to give you this new life. Know that. God declares it. God has proved it. In the resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus again says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill. He's talking about Satan. Satan loves to steal and to kill and destroy. Destroy marriages, destroy families, and destroy lives with addictions, all sorts of things that become a bondage. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Again, in Romans 5:10, For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, now that we are reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Did you circle that phrase, saved by His life? See, that's what Paul's talking about. Yes, it needs to forgive us of our sins, but we're saved every day through the saving life of Jesus Christ. It's through the risen Savior that you and I can come with confidence to the throne of grace. When we sin, and we still do sin, I sin and you sin, but God has said and proved it and provided through His Son. The blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses us from all sin. If we sin, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you believe this? Do you believe that? Amen. Because sin still wants to take us further than we want to go and keep us longer than we want to stay, and is going to cost us more than we're willing to pay. But I have a Savior. I have a Savior. His name is Jesus. And He deals with the issue of sin in my life. Amen. Yeah. Know that He died and He rose again from the dead to give you this new life. We are buried there, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the circle, that newness of life. Newness of life. You see, it glorifies God, our Heavenly Father, when you are walking with Jesus daily. Because He's with us every day and throughout the day. But our Father is pleased when we experience and express and live to the fullness that means the life in Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. So, how can you, how can I, how can we receive this new life? By knowing what Jesus Christ has done for you, for me. Then also call upon Him. Call upon Him for forgiveness and the gift of this new life. Take a look at Jeremiah, the earlier verse here again. Then you will call upon Me and come and pray to Me, and I will listen to you. Is that what he's saying? Absolutely not. Take a look at that. Then you will call upon Me and come and pray to Me, and I will listen to you. Amen. That's my Jesus. He's a great, great high priest there in heaven, making intercession for us. Is he your Jesus too? God's invitation to the cross. Come, call upon Me. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so no one may boast. In the beginning, I said that I believe that the event of Jesus Christ's resurrection is more profound, more life-changing than the original creation. You're saying, Bill, that's philosophically stupid, that's dumb. No, not really, okay? This is what I mean. The power of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit created everything you saw, that you and I see in our world, and you and I, for the word. Let there be light, there was light. Let there be land, there was land. And then all created by the power of His word. And today, through the gospel, we are also instructed by the power of His living word, Jesus Christ. For He is the living word of God. John speaks of Him as the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That same Jesus who created all things. And by His word, the power of His word, holds all things together. It says that in God's word. This same Jesus brings about a new creation. Again, by the power of His word, the gospel. For we are made new creations of Christ Jesus. Take a look at that verse with me. It's right there. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, circle that. That prepositional phrase, in Christ. Being in Christ means you believe in Him, you've received Him as your Lord and Savior, you're walking with Him, you're trusting Him every day,
those anyone in Christ is a new creation. Circle that, a new creation.
The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. And this is the testimony that God gives to you and I this morning. And you have that right before you on that paper. 1 John chapter 5. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. And he who has the Son has life right now, the newness of life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. How do you and I receive that new life? By knowing Jesus Christ, that He died for our sins. He rose again triumphantly, paid the penalty for our sins. Calling upon Him for that salvation, that gift of new life. Then trust. Trust, grow, and walk in His grace and power to live His new life. You see, that's what Easter means. In the living reality of Jesus Christ, in the living person of the believer, and the living presence of His church, Easter, we like to refer to it as Resurrection Day. That's what it means. Because He lives, you and I will also live. Right now and for eternity. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. This new life in Jesus Christ is filled with new opportunities for you and I to love, obey, and serve God in that newness of life right now. Now unto Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or think according to His power that is at work within us. He did say, according to His power, that will the future, but is right now. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. This new life is one of growth, not stagnation. To know Him more fully, and to make Him more fully known to others. Therefore, Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. You've had the privilege, and you may have had too, I pray you have, of having the opportunity to share the gospel, maybe with a boy or girl, a man or woman, maybe with a loved one, a friend. They come to know and they call upon Jesus Christ for salvation. And they've experienced and they've received that newness of life. And you know that they know the Lord Jesus Christ because He's brought a change in their lives. Religion won't do that. Just going to church won't do that. Just pray won't do that. But Jesus can and does that today. Probably one of the greatest tragedies for the Christian today is to not deny the resurrection, because they know He lives, but to disregard the power of His resurrection in our lives. Would you pray with me? Father God, we want to thank You for this day that we rejoice and celebrate and live in the resurrection of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for dying for our sins, for rising from the grave, victory over sin and over death and over Satan. Father, I pray for every soul here in this auditorium. I pray that Your Word
will effectually work
in the life of those who know you, Lord Jesus, as Lord and Savior, to encourage, to refresh, to renew their spirits with this your word and the newness of life they have in you. Those who are yet to believe in you, Lord Jesus, that are here in this auditorium, I pray that today would be that day of decision, that day of commitment, that day of faith in you unto salvation. They would receive you and your life into their lives today. Shower your grace upon us, Lord. Not because we deserve it, but because of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.